Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Nida Chafav, Nida 26a, pagination is 51. Midway on the page, Masnisin, the new Mishnah. Shilya, an afterbirth, Bevayis, that's in the house. Habayis Tamei, the house is considered Tamei. Anything under the same roof is in the presence of a dead body and has the laws of ritual impurity. Says the Mishnah, Lo Sha Shel Yevlad. It's not because the afterbirth is considered a child, Ela Shein Shel Yevlo Vlad. It's just that the afterbirth is not formed in the uterus unless there is a child. So even though you don't see the child, we have to assume that there was a child there. That child is dead, it's a miscarriage, and there will be Toma, according to the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Shimon says, Nimo Kavalad, the child disintegrated in the case of the miscarriage. If you find a Shilya without a Vlad, it's because it disintegrated. Nimo Kavalad ad shelo yetze, before it came out of the uterus, and therefore there is no Toma here, Rabbi Shimon holds. Now, in the uterus, the dead fetus does not cause tuma, but once it leaves the uterus, then it's no longer a implantation in the woman's body, and then it will cause tuma. Now, if we clearly see the child, the fetus, as a miscarriage, so then, of course, there's tuma. If we know for a fact that there was not, so then even the Tanakama will concede there's no Vlad. The discussion here is that we're assuming that it was emitted from the uterus before it disintegrated, and by the time we get to investigate, we don't identify the presence of the child. The Tanakama is saying it's impossible. This is... we have to assume, Ein Shilya below Vlad, that there was a child there and the Tuma was caused, even though at this point we don't see it. This topic of the Shilya and its dissection is a topic you may recall that David HaMelech prided himself that he was an expert in these topics, and he would have Melechlachos Bedam. His hands were sullied with blood from the Shilya in his efforts to identify whether it had the halachic ramifications of a childbirth, if this miscarriage has the status of a childbirth, in which case the woman has to observe the rules of ritual impurity, tuma, that are associated with childbirth, and the reverse. Whatever the rules are, the question is whether she's permitted to go to mikvah and permitted to her husband. The Gemara tells us, Ein shilya pechusa mitefach. A shilya is never less than a tefach. A tefach is the size of a hand breadth, which is commonly described as the size of a fist. Rashi tells us it's the size of four thumbs. A thumb is thicker than the other fingers, and four thumb widths is going to be described as the description of a fist, the way the fingers are. The Gemara tells us, Chamisha Shiurim Tefach ve'eluhein. There are five things that have the size of a tefach associated with them. Shilya, we just said that that's the size of the afterbirth. It doesn't get smaller than that, identified as a shilya. In addition, shofar. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel explained, Kedesha yochzenu biyado v'yira lekanu lekan. You'd be able to hold it in your four fingers, and it would protrude to either side. in the words of Rashi, as the Bach edits, achiza, the grasp of the fingers, is ein ba tefach, doesn't have a tefach, and that's why it's protruding. If it's going to be the required amount of a tefach, it's going to protrude. She'a tefach arba etzbos begudol, because the tefach is four thumb widths. So the other fingers that are less wide would leave the tefach shofar some protrusion. Additionally, tefach of the shedra is referring to the shedra of the lulav, the spine of the lulav. Rashi explains that the spine is where it still has leaves coming out of it. We see it as the hard part of the lulav. It still has leaves coming out of it. At a certain point, though, the top just emerges as leaves, but it's not still sending out leaves from itself. So that spine ends at that point. And the rule is that the shedra of the lulav, the shedra part, is supposed to be one tefach taller than the hadasim that are adjacent. It's important to realize we're not taking into account the height of the leaves. The leaves keep going. We're looking for a tefach of the shedra to be higher than the hadasim. Another is dofen sukkah, the wall of a sukkah. Sukkah has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and it has to be 3 walls. But the third wall is afilu tefach. It's possible to accomplish the third wall in a way of tzuras ha-pesach by positioning one tefach wall distant from the other 2 walls in a way that you have the image of 3 walls, even though there's really not much of a wall there. And even that wall, with its image, is only the majority of the wall. But that's all. This tefach is at least that is required. And finally, ezov tefach, the special grass known as ezov, for its ritual use, also has to be a tefach. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.